Well, let's welcome back Manager Mike Meyer. Mike, do you have team updates for us?
I don't actually right now. We're still rolling with the same guys, trying to figure out exactly what we have and what roles to use everybody in. But I expect we'll make the roster move here or there in the next week or two.
Well, when you had to reduce down the roster size, you already were kind of had some moves already in mind, so you didn't have to do really much at that point. Wasn't that right?
That's correct, yeah. So Matt Morales retired to go run track, and we had one of our players that we put on the inactive list. So we were down to our 23, so we didn't have to make a move at the cutdown day.
Well, let's talk about your overall thoughts on the team, 10, 11 days into the season now.
I think we've got a really good core group of guys. I think our lineup has been really, really pretty dangerous for us. We can kind of do a lot of different things. We hit for some juice. We can manufacture runs. I think we just have really good grind out at bats at times. Our bullpen has been spectacular. We've got some really good arms in late in the game, and we feel really good if we get the lead through six innings that the game's over. And I think our starting pitching has been adequate. It hasn't been great. We've seen flashes. Cole Breath has been really good for us in the two starts. Heron and Bill Can have had one really good start apiece. Bragg had one really good start. But we can clean it up a little bit. We've not thrown as many strikes as I'd like to out of our rotation. And I think our guys will continue to get better as we move forward.
Well, the one thing that I have noticed a little bit, the offenses look good. I know you got to be really happy with the pitching. The defense, though, what's kind of your thoughts about where you are defensively right now?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we're really, really good defensively. But we have moments where we're not fully focused out there. We don't, we've had some pretty bad mistakes where just laziness has cost us a run here or there. We had a situation the other night where we thought there was two outs and there was one, and we had a routine double play ball, and we only got one, followed by a pass ball that put the run. So two mistakes back to back that cost us. So we need to shore that up, and we've talked about it, and our guys understand, and usually we respond well after we've kicked a couple balls in the field or had a bad couple innings defensively where we respond with the bats, and our pitchers have been doing a good job of picking us up. But I think we are really, really special defensively when we're fully locked in and engaged and are playing with high energy.
I know one guy who's had kind of an off time the last couple of years, and you were expecting big things out of this year, is really producing for you, and that's Jabari Henry. He's really been everything you were expecting, I would gather.
Yeah, Jabari is such a good hitter, and obviously we saw what he can do in 2017. And most people don't realize that the last 2 years he has not been healthy. His legs have not been underneath him. Anybody that's ever played baseball or swung a golf club or any of those swinging sports knows that if you have bad legs, it's really hard to generate any clubhead speed or bat head speed. And he struggled catching up the fastballs the last 7 years since his legs were not in good shape. But he's fully healthy now, and that's why we've been DHing him. We want to keep him as healthy as we possibly can. He's a good outfielder, but right now we don't need him to play out there, and we want to keep him back in the lineup. But, he's been really, really good for us so far.
I wanted to get your thoughts here at the Minor League Sports Report, and this week in the association, we named Adamic Tom Shea, I hope I'm saying that right, as the player of the week. He really has performed well since the opening of the season, so I know you got to be happy about penciling his name in the lineup each week.
Oh, yeah, he's been great for us. He's a weird combination. We weren't sure what we were getting defensively, but he's been really, really good. He's been our best defender, I'd say, so far, playing third base. Third case playing defense at third base is really challenging. He makes it look easy so far. But the one thing that, is crazy about Damick is he's a big guy that hits for power and drives the baseball, but he doesn't swing and miss very often. And he's really under control, and he's got a nice short swing. He doesn't get beat by velo, and he stays back on off-speed stuff. So he's a tough out, and you know, it's always nice when he comes up with runners in starting position because you have a really good feeling that he's going to get it done. So he's been as good as we thought and hoped he would be, and hopefully he can continue, you know, being a big piece in the middle of our lineup, along with Jabari and Alay Lago.
Well, let's jump into fan questions this week, and we start with Bethany, who starts out with, not to be snarky, but last year the Canaries got off to such a good start and things didn't really go well after that. What is the difference about this team?
Well, there isn't really any difference. You know, it's, you know, one of the things that I think kind of gets overlooked a little bit, you know, is luck. You have to be pretty lucky to sustain success, you know, for a 100-game season. And, you know, unfortunately and fortunately for us, we've been selling a lot of our best players, and especially our starting pitching. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we're looking at this year, there's probably not going to be any movement. Nobody's going to be going to Mexico. There's not going to be any organizations picking guys up. Where the last few years, we've been selling a bunch of those guys. You know, and we've had some really tough injuries. So I think really it comes down to, can we stay healthy? If we can, we're basically going to have our core group of guys for the rest of the summer, you know, which I think will help us to sustain, you know, some success. Well, in the past, it's, you know, every time we get rolling and we're playing really good baseball, we lose our number one starting pitcher to Mexico, we lose our number two to an organization, and, you know, we lose our best hitter to a hamstring injury, and then we really start suffering.
Well, let's move to Doug, who says, you said the Pirates really weren't interested in keeping Andrew Ealy because of his shoulder. It sure looks like he's fine now. What a dumb mistake by them.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's funny. They didn't even give him a physical. And I understand where they're coming from. You know, they want to make sure they've got low-risk guys. And, you know, unfortunately, Andrew's had a couple of shoulder injuries. You know, he had one when he was in high school. And he had one when he was with the Mets. You know, and they knew about the one with the Mets. They did not realize that he had had a shoulder injury in high school, and they signed him and were ready to send him to Double A. And then they realized that he had had that previous shoulder injury, and they decided that he was too high of a risk, and so they didn't end up bringing him in. But he's a really good player. He's, you know, I think in my opinion, he's the best shortstop in the league. I think he could play shortstop in the big leagues right now defensively, and I think he's a better hitter than he gets credit for.
He actually has a little more pop to his bat in terms of power than I thought. So is that kind of a newer thing?
He does. Well, you know, he's never really been given the opportunity to swing the way he wants to swing until he got to us last year. And we were talking hitting one day, and I was telling him my the way I like my guys to do it. You know, in the first two strikes, I want you to do as much damage. I want you guys to hit the ball out of the ballpark, or, you know, hit balls off the wall. Let it eat. And then when you get two strikes, we want to grind the battle and do whatever we can to put it in play. And that was the first time, really, anybody's let him do that. Because he, you know, he's 150 pounds, you know, soaking wet. So nobody thinks that he, you know, he's able to juice the ball. And so it's like, hey, you need to hit the ball the other way. You need to slap the ball here. You need to run, you know. And that's just not the style of hitter he is. He takes big swings. He tries to do damage. And he's got more pop than people realize. I mean, he had a ball at the ballpark here in Chicago with the wind blowing in from right. And there was a bunch of guys that hit balls well to right that didn't come close. And he got it out of there. So he's got some juice.
Next up is Owen, who says, good call on Keaton Steele as the closer. What led you to that brilliant choice?
You know, Keaton is one of my favorite people. He's my right-hand man on the grounds crew, so whenever we have a day off, we usually go out there early in the morning and do some more, trying to get the birdcage to play a little bit better. You know, and so we've had a really good relationship, and just kind of learning his personality, you know, last year, it was clear to me that he doesn't get rattled at all. And as a starter last year, he was devastating for his first, like, 8 starts. He was just better than everybody because his stuff was so good. But after that, he was worn down a little bit. His velo dropped. Stuff wasn't as sharp. His command wasn't great. And so talking with him this offseason, I told him, I said, I think you would be really good in late in the game, in the back of the bullpen. What do you think about closing? He loved the idea. And we've seen it so far where we might kick a ball or there's a play that's not made or they get a broken bat hit and now he's pitching in trouble. It doesn't faze him one bit. He's just right back on the mound and ready to make the next pitch. And that's the type of guy you need when you're pitching in that high pressure situation.
Yeah, I like the mentality of him too, like you're talking about here, because that's just a job where, you know, one mistake you have to shake off. You have like 2 seconds to be mad, and that's about it.
Yeah, exactly.
We head to George. He says, Ryan Brett is not doing very well early on, so I have a plan to break him out of that slump. He got released from the White Sox in 2018, then was awesome in Kansas City, struggled in Kansas City to start last year, then played well in Cleburne after being released. So tell him he was released and signed with the Canaries, and then he will come alive.
That's a great idea, yeah. Yeah, I think with Ryan Brett, just watching him hit in person every day, I think it's maybe not so much that he got released, but the fact that he's not in rhythm. He had a little bit of a quad injury, so he wasn't playing for us for, 4 or 5 days. And the other night was his first game back, and his first at bat, he swung through 3 pitches in a row, and, he missed the first one by, there's a fastball, and he was like 2 feet in front of it. And, I was like, hey, man, you got to slow yourself down a little bit. He's a big-time rhythm hitter. He doesn't have a lot of movement, so he's really short, quick to the ball. And I think sometimes for guys like that, it just takes them about 100 at-bats before they're in that good rhythm. And I think that's why you see him struggling every year for the first month of the season. And then he gets hot. So we're kind of hoping it doesn't take that long this year and that he can get into a little bit of a rhythm and start producing for us a little bit, because we could use some offensive production out of that second base spot.
Brooke says, I just wanted to add that the protocols you guys are using really seem to be working. I hope this is a model to other leagues and colleges to show that teams can play and there can be sports.
Yeah, it's been great. I think the league, we struggled a little bit early because it was new for everybody in some of the protocols, but they've done a really good job of being decisive and continuing to evolve. And we're doing a really good job. Every organization's done a really good job of keeping their players, healthy and safe. We're testing way more than, I thought we could have the capacity to test, which is a great thing. We're doing a really good job of making sure that we're staying in our little bubble when we're in the hotels and all that sort of thing. So, hopefully we can continue to do so and stay healthy and get through this season and be a model for other leagues.
Ricky would like to know how you think Nate Sampson signing with the Saints changes the race.
Yeah, obviously we know how good Nate is. I tried to acquire him this offseason, and he decided to go to Mexico. And when the Mexican League didn't happen, he reached out to me right away. And, I love Nate, and I think he's a tremendous player, and he's a really good leader. But it comes down to money a lot of the time. And, I'm happy for him that he got a job with St. Paul, but I think that's definitely an upgrade for them. We all know that St. Paul's gonna get better and they're gonna play better baseball. It's just a matter of time. And, we've got to get better to stay ahead of them.
No offense to Nate Sampson either, but I think you're the only team in the league that could have said, we already have a good enough shortstop. No offense to him.
Yeah, okay. I agree. That also helped us, having a guy like Nate Sampson, already on our roster, makes the decision a lot easier.
Joe says there are other teams that are starting to bring in players who have been released from clubs within the league. What have been the thoughts of other managers on re-signing guys, or what do you know about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is, it's just different times for everybody. And I think, you know, for myself included, you know, all of us are kind of wanting to figure out that balance. Do we make a lot of roster moves? Do we bring in a lot of different people? Do we stick with, you know, our guys? Are we loyal to our guys? You know, type of thing. You know, so I think everybody's kind of feeling things out. I think what'll probably end up happening is the teams that don't get off to a great start will be making a lot of roster moves and kind of see if they can, you know, spark it with using some of the affiliated guys. And I think, you know, some of the other teams that are doing okay maybe won't do that so much and see how it goes with staying with their roster. I'm not opposed to bringing in new people. You know, but I really like the personalities that we have in our clubhouse, and you know, it's one of those deals where it may be a little bit of an upgrade to bring in, you know, this guy, but what do we know about him clubhouse wise, and is he going to mesh with the rest of our guys as well as, you know, the guys we already have?
We have a couple from Chris. The first is he would like to know what your long term aspirations are. Do you see yourself like a George Samus in St. Paul being there for 20 years?
Ideally, I've been in Sioux Falls for so long, you know, 8 years as a pitching coach. This is my fourth year managing. I love Sioux Falls. I think it's a tremendous town. It's, you know, I know people say this all the time, it's like a second home, but it really is for myself and, you know, my family. We really like it there. We've got friends there. You know, I'd love to, you know, be there for 20 years and, you know, do great things, you know, and be there when, you know, hopefully one day we get a brand new stadium and, you know, and be able to build a perennial winner and give the city something that they deserve, you know. So that would be, you know, my aspirations is stay in Sioux Falls for until I don't want to, you know, manage anymore.
Chris also asked, what do you think of the way that the Saints do games? I think it's pretty funny to see Lee and how he interacts with fans. Do you think that could work here in Sioux Falls?
Yeah, of course. You know, they've always been the leader, you know, in entertainment. You know, they do such a good job. And, you know, it becomes more than just a baseball game when you go to a Saints game. But, you know, I think we've gotten better and we're continuing to get better. And I think it's actually, you know, a blessing for our people to be around the St. Paul people this summer, you know, sharing the birdcage. And, you know, it's something that I know Duel and I talked about and we want to get better and we want to make sure we're creating, you know, a really fun family environment for people to come out to the games, you know, that's not just about the baseball. It's about, you know, all the other sideshows and, you know, and fun entertainment.
Ray says, Mike, why do women have to have so many pillows on the bed? Good Lord, we only need two.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think, I mean, honestly, obviously it's for decoration. Yeah, I'm not a big, you know, decorative pillow guy. Myself, I just need the one that I'm laying my head on.
And we end with Erica this week, who would like to know, is the Fu Man Crew thing a joke, or are you really going to do that?
Well, I tell you, we have a couple of really good mustaches now. We've got three of them, so it's sending. I don't know. We'll have to see how things play out, but I think I'll probably stick with really a shaggy beard just because I'm not in the mood at all to shave. But who knows? We'll see what happens as we get further down the line here and we're all kind of isolated and losing our minds. Maybe I'll decide to join in and have a nice, you know, Fu Manchu or, you know, a nice mustache.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Mike.
All right. Appreciate it, Rob.